All right, why don't you grab your copy of God's Word this morning and open it up to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at the second half of a sermon that was preached on August the 27th. That was the last Sunday before our missions month began. And we preached the first half of that, and I'm going to preach the second half this morning, and Lord willing, we will get done rather quickly. But Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 12, and then we're going to look at verses 21 to 25. I'll be reading them together as a group. Mark chapter 4, verse 10. And let us please rise and honor the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 4, verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they turn and be forgiven." Verse 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." May God add blessings to the reading. Like I said 3 weeks ago when we looked at the first half of this message, when you look at these two paragraphs, and I mean verse 10 to 12, and then verse 21 to 25, when you look at those two paragraphs together, they seem to be the strangest paragraphs when you look at what each one of them is saying. On the one hand, in verses 10 to 12, Jesus says that parables, the very nature of parables, are meant to keep outsiders on the outside. We talked about inside jokes, right? And how an inside joke will leave somebody that is on the outside feeling very much like they're on the outside. And that sounds strange. In fact, in verse 12, Jesus quotes Isaiah 6:9, where God, pronouncing a judicial hardening on unbelieving Israel, says to Isaiah, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing and do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." And then he says, "Make the heart of this people dull, their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Now that is exactly what verses 10 to 12 are saying. That there is a judicial hardening that God places on Israel and on all of those who are on the outside. They see, but they do not see. They hear, but they do not hear. Why? So they do not repent. Now that's a hard, hard saying. We are uncomfortable with any notion that God hides the truth to keep people from repenting and coming to Christ. And yet that's what the text says. But on the other hand, in verses 21 to 25, Jesus seems to be saying something very different. He says that the kingdom is not meant to be hidden, but rather it is meant to be put on a stand and to be manifest to all. So what is Jesus talking about here? How do these two paragraphs work together. If all we had was verses 11 to 12, we might conclude that Jesus doesn't want anyone to repent and come to him. That he would want everyone's heart to stay hard, and that they all stay outsiders. But in verses 21 to 25, Jesus clarifies the paradoxical nature of gospel ministry, and he says, yes, hard hearts will continue to get harder, and the truth will continue to be concealed to those who will not hear it, and in fact cannot hear it, but the kingdom is made manifest to those who want to hear it, and those who want to see it. And here's the topic sentence that I gave you last week. And it's in your notes. If you don't have a notes page, they're back there on the back, on that back music stand there at the doorway. But here's the topic sentence I gave you last week, or 3 weeks ago. And the topic sentence is this, is that the parables of Jesus conceal in order to reveal. Jesus' parables conceal in order to reveal. Why? Because the gospel of the kingdom of God is an open secret. Now, as I said three weeks ago, that is a very unhelpful topic sentence because it's full of paradox. Which is it, Jesus? Is it hidden or is it revealed or is it both? And so what I want to do this morning is I want to deal with the second half of that paradox. The first paradox is rather clear. There are people who will not hear and they will not see. Why? Because they cannot see and they cannot hear, and they will continue to be hardened to the gospel of Jesus. They are on the outside. And for them, parables just confuse them. Parables irritate them and anger them and make their unbelief even more profound and even more deep. But for those who are on the inside, parables are life to them. They hear it, they see it, they want to believe it, and they want the Christ of parables. So, with that, I want us to look at verses 21 to 25. Verses 21 to 25. And the reason why I want us to really look at that this morning is because to understand verses 21 to 25 make us really good in our mission to the world. If we understand verses 21 to 25, we become really, really good missionaries. And that's what we're focused on this month, is missions. So, in verses 21 to 25, we have two sets of triplets. Three aphorisms, little sayings, however you want to call it, and they come in two sets. And these sayings that we see in Mark appear in different places, and they're used in different ways. And so it's important for us to understand how Jesus uses these sayings in this context. Jesus puts six of them together. The first set, which is the first triplet, okay, the first three, we have a saying about a lamp. And that lamp is on a stand, and it's hidden to be later revealed. It's a secret to come to light. The second set of three, he uses the analogy of a measure for measure. And the idea there is that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But I want us to look first at that first triplet. And I want us to think about it this way, that the secret of the kingdom is meant to be revealed. The secret of the kingdom is meant to be revealed. Is it hidden? Yes, it's hidden. Is it a mystery? Yes, it's a mystery. Is it a secret? Yes. Is it veiled to unbelieving hearts? Yes. But it is meant to be revealed. He talks about a lamp in verse 21. Notice in verse 21. He talks about the analogy of a lamp. Now, when you think about a lamp, I mean, obviously, if you're going to bring a lamp into your living room, you don't put it under the couch. You don't bring it into the living room and then lay a big blanket over it. No, you bring a lamp into your living room. Why? To provide light. You want it to provide light. That is, its whole reason for existence is to provide light. And so as we look at this, what is the lamp here? When we think about the lamp, notice verse 21. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bread or and not a stand? So what is this lamp? Well, the lamp could be translated the lamp. In your versions, in most of your versions, it says a lamp. Now, in the Greek, it does have an article. And so the Greek article there, the Greek definite article, you could, in fact, translate it the lamp. And as many have before, you could look at lamp, capitalized, the capital L lamp, referring to Jesus, referring to God. And there's plenty of Old Testament references where God is called a lamp, where the Messiah is called the Lamb, or even the Word of God is called the Lamb. And all of those ideas could be included here, but I think that lamp here refers rather to the kingdom of God. To the kingdom of God. This inbreaking of the new world into the old one. The new breaking of the kingdom of righteousness and peace into this kingdom of darkness and sin. Why do I think that the lamp here is referring to the kingdom of God? Well, we've already seen back in verse 11. Back in verse 11, it says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. In verse 26, we see another parable about the kingdom of God. In verse 30, there is another parable about the kingdom of God. And so it seems very clear that Jesus has the kingdom of God in mind. And so this lamp in verse 21 that is put on a stand is the light of the kingdom of God. I believe that the context bears that out. And what that tells us is that Jesus did not come as the king of a kingdom. He did not come to hide away in a corner. He did not come to hide under a blanket or a bushel or whatever. He didn't come to hide. He came that he might be made known and that those who believe would receive the kingdom. Now, if you know your Bible, this is probably the part where you're thinking to yourself, wait, isn't there a verse in the Bible somewhere that says that we're a light? Right? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let, come on, let's sing together right now. You know, don't let Satan it out, I'm going to let it shine, right? And where do we get that? We get that from Matthew chapter 5. Right? In Matthew chapter 5. And so Jesus brings the kingdom, and as we reflect the values of the kingdom, as we reflect the king of the kingdom, we too are lights that are reflecting the glory of God. And so the kingdom is made up of a lot of lamps, a lot of individual lamps, shining the light of the kingdom of God to all the world. And that's in a big, major way. I like the metaphor of a lamp because Jesus didn't just say that the lamp is a camouflage. You know, I love the idea of lamp. Think about the kingdom of God as camouflage. Jesus didn't say that because that would be the idea that what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is something that you're not supposed to see. It just kind of sits there and you never even notice it. But he also didn't say that the kingdom of God is like a laser beam. You know, you're walking around just blasting people, right? He didn't say that either. But rather he said that the kingdom of God is like a lamp on a stand. I like that. I like that kind of an idea because here's the thing about lamps. Lamps are not very aggressive things, right? They're just not aggressive things. They don't yell out to everybody, look at me, I'm a lamp. Look at me, I'm a lamp. It doesn't do that. They don't have an aggressive agenda. They just sit there and they shine. And they do their job. They're not hiding anything. And they aren't calling attention to themselves. They shine their light. They shine their light. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. Right? I mean, that's exactly what the kingdom of God is like. And as citizens of the kingdom, that is what we are to be like. We are not to be the kind of people that just shout in people's faces, "I'm a lamp, look at me, look at me." We're not to call attention to ourselves as if we are the point. But neither do we hide. Neither do we get ourselves under a couch or under a bed or a basket. We let our light shine. We reflect the values of the kingdom of God. We reflect the King of the kingdom of God. We reflect the glory of God. And that's what a lamp is. That's what a lamp is. Jesus says in verse 22, look at it. In verse 22, he says, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. Nor is anything secret except to come to light." Now, that sounds strange. Why would you hide something only to reveal it? Why would you have a secret only to tell it? Well, let me just tell you what's not being suggested here. The hiding that he's talking about here is not like the hiding that you get in the witness protection program. You know what I mean? In the witness protection program, you know, you testify against some big drug kingpin, you know. And so what they do is they want to make sure that his friends don't find you and kill you and all of that. So they give you a whole new identity and a whole new way of life, and they give you a new place to live. And the point of that is that you are never revealed. That you always stay hidden. That you always stay a secret. That's the point. That you are never found. That's not the kind of hiding that Jesus is talking about here. The kind of hiding that Jesus is talking about here is like the hiding of an Easter egg hunt. An Easter egg hunt. If you think about an Easter egg hunt, you hide Easter eggs, why? So they are never found? No, you hide them so that they are found. Unless you're a really terrible parent. You know, and you're like, "We're hiding all the eggs up in the attic this year. They'll never find them up there. We've got candy and eggs up there for 5 years. Kids have never found them. They sit around pouting because they can't find anything. And we just tell them, well, kid, that's life. Get over it, you know. You're a really terrible parent. That's what you do. Your kids are like, "It sounds like our last Easter." Now, what do you do with eggs? What do you do with the Easter eggs? You put them out where they can be found. You lay them out in obvious places, you know. And my wife is really good about this. "We're going to put one here." I was like, "You can see it, though." I mean, that's way too obvious. She's the better parent, you know. She wants them to be found, you know. And at the end, I get kind of lame. I start this throwing. Okay, fine. If you just want them obvious, I'll throw them all in the grass. And they'll just walk around and pick them up, you know. But why do we do that? We do that because we want what is hidden to be found. We want it to be found. And what that means is that the kingdom is hidden in such a way that it will be found. God wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth, but part of seeing and part of hearing the truth is wanting to see it and wanting to hear it. You know, like part of finding Easter eggs is that you want to find them. You want to find it. And so, yes, Jesus reveals the secret of the kingdom to you. He is a lamp shining in the darkness, but part of seeing the light and embracing the light is that you want to see the light. And you want to embrace the kingdom. It is a secret that has come to light. Here's the thing about secrets. The thing about a secret is that a secret is only fun if you get to tell somebody. Right? The worst secrets in the world are ones that will go to your grave with you. You hate those secrets, you know? Because they're not fun. They're no fun.
The fun thing about a secret is that you get to tell the secret. It's like you go to a little kid, you know, and you're like, psst, come here. And they're like, what? I've got a secret, but don't tell mommy. Oh, eyes light up, right? Because they know eventually we will tell mommy, right? Their eyes light up, you know, and you start to tell them the secret, and they've got a big smile from ear to ear, and they got their hand up, and they're giggling, this is great, you know? And then what happens right after you tell them the secret? They go directly to mommy and tell mommy, right? You can't tell them anything if you don't want mommy to know. But why are they so happy to go and tell mommy the secret? Because it's a secret. And they love to tell secrets. See, that's what's so great about secrets. Secrets are fun because you get to tell somebody about them. You see, beloved, we've been given a secret. We've been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And it is meant to be revealed. And we should be only too happy, only too thrilled. Our eyes should light up at the very thought of being able to go and tell somebody about this secret. To tell somebody, the King has come. The kingdom of God has broken in. The kingdom of righteousness is here. It's a secret that is meant to be revealed. What Jesus is saying here is that his disciples get the secret now. And then more and more people will later get the secret through their missionary activity. After his death, after his resurrection, after his ascension. Because it's at that point that they are certain that he is in fact the Messiah. And so they go out and they preach to people, but they don't preach in parables. They don't preach in riddles. Rather, they preach clearly. The gospel of the kingdom. It is a secret that is meant to come to light. That's the first triplet. The second triplet is in verse 24. I want you to notice the second thing. That the secret of the kingdom is not only meant to be revealed, but it's also meant to be revealed to those with open hearts. Now, I want you to understand that both of these paragraphs, both verses 10 to 12, as well as verses 21 to 25, appear in this greater context of the parable of the soils. And in the parable of the soils, you see four kinds of soils and four kinds of hearts. The first three are hearts that are not responsive to the gospel, or if they are responsive to the gospel initially, they fall away very quickly. But then there's one heart and one soil, and it's the good one. In chapter 4, verse 8, you see a good soil or a good heart. In verse 20, you get the good heart again. And that's what this section is focusing in on. Those who have open hearts, those who have the good soil that the Word of God goes into. And in those particular hearts, the secret of the kingdom is revealed to them. Now, I want you to notice in verse 24. In verse 24, we see the second triplet. He says, Jesus said to them, verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Now, he's using the analogy of a measure. So, if you have a 4-foot yardstick, and that's what you use to measure someone, then that's the yardstick you will be measured with. And you think you're 6 foot? Nope, you're 5. Right? That's the idea. Whatever standard you use to measure someone else, that's the standard that will be used for you. Sometimes Jesus uses this saying in reference to how we treat people. We see this particularly in Matthew 7, where he talks about the fact that
You know, judge not lest you be judged, right? And the measure, by the measure that you judge others, you will be judged. So the idea there is that if you are a judgmental person or a critical person, then God will be judgmental and critical with you. And so that's the idea. The measure with which you measure will be measured to you. The standard that you use to judge others, that's the standard that God will use to judge you. That's the idea of Matthew 7. But here, that is not the meaning that Jesus is using. Rather, what Jesus is doing here is he's referring to how we understand and respond to Jesus. How we understand and respond to Jesus. And it's really important that you understand the way he uses this measure analogy here as opposed to the way he uses it in Matthew chapter 7. Here the idea is, when it comes to the kingdom, when it comes to knowing Christ, you will get out of it what you put into it. That's the idea. Whatever you measure into it is what you will get out of it. So if you say, well, you know, I've never really given much concern to knowing the things of the Lord very deeply. You know, whatever I get, you know, on Sunday morning is good for me, you know, if I get it at all, you know. I've never really gone very deep in God's Word. I've never really cared too much about examining the truths of Christianity. I'm kind of, you know, I just get it by osmosis, you know. I just kind of get it just being around it. If that's what you say, if that's your attitude, well, of course, you're going to get very little out of it. The measure that you pour in, little, lame, hardly anything, is what you will get out of it. That's the way Jesus is using this analogy. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Now, God loves to reveal himself to those who are seeking him. And the same principle is true of the church. You know, whatever you put into the church is what you will get out of it. I tell people this all the time. You know, if you put nothing into listening to a sermon, write it down. You will get nothing out of it. If you walk into a Sunday morning worship service and Pastor Kenny opens up God's Word and starts expounding it, and you're kind of sitting there without your Bible open, you're like, I'll get it somehow. You got your arms back, you know, maybe you're taking a little snooze here and there, you know. If that's the way you listen to a sermon, you will absolutely get nothing out of it. You will never go deep with the Lord. You will never plunge the riches of God's grace. You will never get it. Why? Because you put nothing in it, so you get nothing out. And one of the things about the expository ministry of our church is that we open up the Bible and we expound it. And if you're kind of in neutral and you're really not putting much into it, you're going to get nothing out of it. It's all going to go over your head. You're going to be like, whatever, you know. Don't have the slightest idea what the world he's talking about. But if you are the type of person who opens up your Bible, you've got your pen in your hand, you've got your notes, and you're working through it, you're asking questions, and you're like, hey, I'm gonna send an email to him and find out exactly what he meant by that and all of that, then you're going to get something out of it. The measure you use, it will be measured to you. So you put a lot in, you get a lot out. If you put nothing into the church, then you will get nothing out of the church. If you put nothing into your pursuit of holiness and discipleship, you will get nothing out of it. And people say, Pastor Kenny, I'm not growing. I'm like, well, what are you doing exactly? Are you doing anything? Are you putting anything into it? Are you in God's Word? Are you feasting on God's Word? Are you praying over God's Word? Are you identifying sin in your life and ways to go after it and kill it? Are you doing that? If you're not, you're not putting anything into it. Therefore, you're getting nothing out of it. It's true in ministry. You know, most of us have heard about the 80-20 rule. You know, the 80-20 rule, the idea that 20% of the people in a congregation do 80% of the work of ministry. You know, we've heard that. And that's very true in virtually every church, unfortunately. But one of the things I've also experienced is that 20%, the 20% that do all the gospel ministry are the ones that get 80% of the blessing from it. Those are the people who are usually the happiest, joyful, and most contented people in the church. And of course, those who aren't into that and don't serve, the 80%, that's where we get the discontents. And the people who are irritated and mad and wish it wasn't like this and wish it was like that. And why doesn't he do more of this? And why don't they do more of that? And that's what ends up happening. Now, some people have said, well, what comes first? Is it the joyful people that actually serve? Or do they get joyful because they serve? I think it's both. Joyful people want to serve, and when they serve, they get more joyful. Again, what you put into it, what? Is what you get out of it. And so it fulfills a principle that what you put in is what you get out. And so if you're like, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to chill, and you will become irritated. You will become irritated. You will become discontented. You will become a fault finder. And you will look for a crack that you can ooze out of. Now, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying, I'm not saying I'm going to have a big call out for Sunday school teachers right after the service. That's not what I'm saying. If you want to do that, please let me know. That's not what I'm going after. But what I am trying to say is that if you come to church and you're the type of person that's always receiving and never giving, you're going to go sour. It's like the Dead Sea. You know, one of the things that make the Dead Sea dead is that it has inlet, but it has no outlet. And so if you're the kind of person that just sits and just soaks and soaks and soaks, it's going to go to seed on you. If you're a sponge, you need to be what? Wrung out from time to time. And if you don't, you'll become stale. Or worse, you'll become proud and arrogant. And so you put in, or you get out what you put in. Then at the end of verse 24 and into verse 25, Jesus says, and still more will be added to you. So in other words, you're putting in and you're getting out, and then he adds, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not given, even what he has will be taken away. Again, this sounds so unlike Jesus because it sounds like a reverse Robin Hood, right? The rich get richer, and the poor get poorer. Now, I'm not saying this is the way we should treat things. He's not talking about money. He's talking about how people respond to the parables in particular, how they respond to the ministry of Jesus in general. And you have to understand that this chapter follows chapters 2 and 3, which is all about building opposition to Jesus. And you have to remember that every parable in Mark's gospel is spoken in the face of opposition. That's what Jesus has in mind. And so the point is this. If you already have Jesus and you're seeking more of him and you want more of him and you want to go deeper with him and you want the kingdom, Jesus says you will get even more. You will get even more. But if you're indifferent to Jesus, if you're indifferent to the kingdom, if you're like, whatever. Jesus. Yeah. I heard that Sunday. I'll hear it next Sunday. Whatever. If that's your attitude, Jesus says, then what you already have will be taken away. What you have will be taken away. So Jesus is talking about, not about money, but rather he's talking about our response to him and to the kingdom. If you come with a wide open heart, a big heart, you will get even more blessing. But if you come with a narrow and restricted heart, God is going to shrivel that heart up even more. This is a paradox. The kingdom of God is a secret. but it's an open secret. The kingdom is hidden so that it can be revealed. The gospel of the kingdom is a lamp on a stand for all to see, and yet many will still have their eyes closed. The gospel is shouted from the rooftops, and yet many will plug their ears so that they cannot hear. Jesus is there for the taking, but many will not take him. And for those, even what they do have will be taken away. You know, that's a powerful word. Because if you think about that for a minute, you can come in here, and I'm going to talk to the young people, because the young people are really important in this. Young people tend to take things for granted. When you come in here on Sunday morning, you hear the word, you hear about Jesus, you hear about what he's done. And if you walk out of here and just, the day will come with what you have will be taken away. That's a scary thought. That's a really scary thought. That's the reason why Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear in verse 24. Pay attention. Listen up. What you put in is what you will get out. And if you put in, if you invest, if you go deep with the Lord, if you love him, and if you give time to his word, give time to prayer, you will get that in return and even more. But if you don't, then what you even have will be taken. Now, sometimes we look at this text and we say, well, what about preaching? You know, what about preaching? You know, one of the things I want to do as a faithful Christian, as a faithful believer, as a faithful proclaimer of the gospel, I want to be able to go out there and truly reveal the kingdom. What if I mess up? What if my message is just not what it should be? And what if I'm not, you know, winsome enough or approachable enough? Or what if people just look at me, he's a jerk. I'm not going to listen to anything he says. You know, what? How do I make sure that I preach the kingdom of God in a way that they hear it and they see it and they believe it? How do I do that? Make this real simple for you. It's not your job. Your job is to be a lamp and to shine. It's not to be likable to them, but rather to shine the light of the kingdom of God. And you remember what Acts 13 says? Acts 13, 48. It says that whenever they preach the gospel, right? When they're preaching the gospel, the apostles were preaching the gospel, it says, and to everyone who was appointed to eternal life believed. I love that verse. Everyone who was appointed to eternal life, in other words, everyone who already had eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to understand and believe, those were the ones who believed. And the apostles did not spend the night wondering why the others did not. And that's the way we preach the gospel. We let our light shine. And so we come back to the one word we used 3 weeks ago. That word was the word that started the parable of the soils. It was the word that ended the parable of the soils. It's a word that appears 13 times in chapter 4. It is the word hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so the question I have for you this morning is, do you have ears to hear? Do you? Is the kingdom revealed to you, or is it concealed to you? And so with that, let me just ask a few diagnostic questions as you ask the bigger question, are my spiritual ears working? Number one, do I delight to learn from the Word of God, or do I dread spending time in it? That's a big question. Do I long to study God's word, or do I dread spending time in it? Number two, in general, do I feel as if God speaks to me in the preaching of the word, or do I often find my heart critical and disinterested? Number three, over the past year, has Jesus become more precious to me, or has he become more bland to me? Number four, do I take an active role in growing my faith and serving others, or do I expect others to take care of me and feed me spiritually and let them do the work? Number five, would others say I have a teachable heart or a heart that frequently wants to correct the faults that I see in others? Number six, am I growing more and more eager to learn about Christ, to worship him, and to obey him? Or am I growing less interested in knowing Christ, less enthusiastic about worshiping Christ with his people, and more careless in my obedience? And then finally, does God's word linger in my life throughout the week? Or do I find that sermons and readings and Bible studies never come to mind and have no impact on me when I leave this building? Jesus says in verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. God wants everyone to know the open secret that the kingdom of God has come in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for helping us to understand it through your Spirit. And I pray, Father, that we would come to a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. We put our faith and trust completely and totally in him and him alone. I pray, Father, for those who don't know Christ this morning. I pray, Lord, that if it be your will, that you would even now be opening their hearts, that you'd be tilling the soil of their heart, that they would receive the word and that it would grow and that it would bear fruit to 30, 60, and 100-fold. I pray, Lord, that you would give them no rest until they find their rest in the Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.